I wonder if anyone is feeling brave enough to tell us something weird they've seen on social media. Oh, yes. Have you got a microphone? Thank you.
So, as a break from all the news, I followed various, like, animals, cute animal...
love a cute animal.
This is one channels. Of my industry.
But what I've noticed is there's been a rise in these animals doing weird things, like animals dancing around, or animals that, you know... wild animals that would attack humans then, like, being their friends, like, you know, tigers and mountain cats sort of coming in. Like, I suppose my question is, why are people creating videos of cute wild animals? Like, what's to be gained by turning feeds that have normal animals into these artificially cute wild animals? That just occurred to me. Like, where has it come from and what's it gaining?
I mean, I think some of it I do love. Thank you very much. I do love talking about animal videos. I frequently pitch them in our meeting. I mean, animal content in general is like, we considered actually calling this podcast Bring Back Cat Videos, e.g., like, can we go back to what the internet used to be like? And you're kind of right that, like, that sort of genre of cute animal has either been sort of turbocharged by algorithms, and we can talk a bit about Punch the Monkey, Mudang the Hippo, any of the...
Gerald the Dolphin.
Can we talk about Gerald? Actually, Gerald's a great one to talk about.
Seamus.
I like Seamus. But to answer your question before we get sidetracked by Gerald, because we really will, what I would say is that I think that they know that kind of content, now they're competing with a load of other, like, very punchy content and AI content. It's like the temperature level is just constantly increasing. And so if you want to keep growing your following, keep reaching people, the more that you can have someone like you go, what is going on here? And you stay longer on that video and you kind of give them the time, the attention, then they get more promotion, they get more clicks and likes. And it's almost like this engagement arms race, not just happening between the companies themselves, but between users as they all battle for those views and likes. Mm-hmm. Gerald the Dolphin was this wild story, which we discussed on the podcast, which was a real favorite, which was about, it was a story about a man who washed up on a beach in Florida. It was completely fake, the story. So the man didn't wash up on the beach. And the man in the fake story...
You've omitted the most key part, which is...
No, I'm going to talk about
that. Oh, okay.
The man, when he washed up on the beach, the not real man, said, I was abducted by a dolphin called Gerald, and Gerald forced me to build an underwater palace, and now I've come
back.
Which
is why Gerald is wearing a hard hat in all the depictions, because he works in construction.
And it was like this whole wave of stuff where, if you had missed it, you would have absolutely no idea what was going on. And I think it was the week that I'd been doing this documentary about algorithms, and I hadn't been on TikTok for a while, and suddenly all my feed was this dolphin in a hard hat. And I was like, how have I got to this side of TikTok?
Stories that tend to do well are ones where there's multiple layers of reality or unreality. So a lot of people on the internet may think that Gerald the dolphin isn't real, but that a man did wash up on a beach in Florida and say to the news, I was kidnapped by a dolphin. I think we all could see that story happening in Florida.
You kind of thought that was
I would
real.
Think that. That wouldn't surprise me. Say maybe someone had, like, you know, psychosis and they said that a dolphin, you know, that could happen. So that is what I think a lot of people believe, that this man is just, this is a crazy man. But actually, the Gerald the dolphin isn't real, and the man isn't real.
And that's the, like, layers of disinformation.
It's almost that it's, like, too obviously fake. So Gerald the dolphin is clearly fake. So people assume that, oh, well, the other parts of the story are not as difficult to believe. So maybe those bits are real, and therefore you believe parts of the story when the entire thing was fabricated.
Mm-hmm. As to why people like watching videos of animals, that is a mystery as old as time. But but the reason that people post those videos is because, there is a financial incentive to driving engagement. You may not realize that you are being marketed something, if not by the account you're following, then by the accounts that account are then pushing you to.
Anyone else feel brave? Oh, yes. Another question. This feels like some kind of confessions session.
No, I was just wondering, I'm a photographer and I have an Instagram account, and every single time it drives me absolutely nuts when you get obviously a genuine picture, but you get so many people in the comments saying, this is AI, this isn't real, don't believe it. And recently, I don't know if you saw, but there was a story about the RSPCA where they did a very traumatic dog rescue, and I think it was 250 dogs or something, and the images were so horrific, everyone was like, well, this possibly couldn't be true, this is obviously AI. And the RSPCA were actually forced to put a statement out saying, no, this is genuine, we unfortunately had to deal with these dogs. And I was just wondering if you have any tips on how to very sort of eagle-eyed in a way, spotting AI?
Yeah, it's such a good question. We discussed doing the dogs, the RSPCA dogs, on the podcast because that was it was a wild story. And actually, when I saw the video, the picture of these dogs, did you see this?
Yeah.
I genuinely was like, oh, is AI? Is AI?
Unfortunately, the answer is there is no answer we can give you as to how to tell whether an image is AI or not. Because even if we were to give you a trick, like look at the number of fingers or whatever, 4 weeks from now, AI will become so developed that it will be impossible to tell. The only real way to tell that something is real is if a credible website has cited it or used it, because they will have to like know the origin of the photo.
Yeah, I think as well that this whole kind of disbelief in anything, I mean, particularly disbelief in things that are quite shocking, has really serious consequences, because it means people don't necessarily believe like violence has been committed or they don't believe that something bad has happened. I think also because there's a little bit, and I think this often about when I look into kind of really extreme conspiracy theories, people actually like don't want to believe bad stuff. And if they can have a reason not to believe it, then AI is quite helpful in that way. Or they kind of want to just disagree with something. They say it's not real. I think that the best advice that you can give about trying to figure out if something's AI or not is to, and there's a phrase that people who believe conspiracy theories often use, which is do your own research. And it's like, actually do your own research. So I think whenever you see something, like does it kind of make sense? Like, is it credible in the first place? Could you believe it? Who shared it? Why? You've kind of got to look at all the other things around the post rather than actually the content and the post itself, because AI is becoming so convincing that, like, I see stuff that is AI or not, and I think it's not, and vice versa.
But
it's meant to be my job.
There is less and less provable reality for us to cling to. The shared belief in reality that we all have is being challenged by social media. I mean, just thinking about the Epsom thing again, I went to a protest yesterday in Epsom, which was a women's rights protest, and they didn't believe the police's account that this gang rape didn't happen because of things like Sarah Everard, you know, so they didn't believe the police. The right-wing people didn't believe the police. They thought it was immigrants. No one believed anything. There was no shared consensus of reality anymore whatsoever. And I've seen the picture you're talking about, and to be honest, it does look like AI. It's something to do with, like, the preponderance of limbs
and also they all kind of look the same, the poor dogs.
Yeah.
I promise you there is a league table every week of animal stories and which one we should do first. And as much as Matt and Marianne have just said we can't explain to you why AI is AI and everything, I promise you on the podcast we do try to explain some of these things. So please do subscribe if you didn't know anything about us already. It's Top Comment. You can subscribe on BBC Sounds. You can also email us topcomment@bbc.co.uk with any questions you have, and Matt and Marianne will try and answer it on the podcast.
Or send us a DM or anything. We actually love seeing what different people are seeing, because the whole kind of unique algorithmic experience means that the more people we hear from, the better it is, because we can figure out what different people are being pushed and why and where it's come from.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Marianne again. I hope you enjoyed that little bonus conversation. And just in case you're wondering, we'll be back with our regular episode of Top Comment later in the week.